All right, because last week, unfortunately, I unmuted myself at the beginning of the call. You guys didn't get to hear anything that I said and my wonderful introduction of Tony Procopio, and I was glad that he jumped in and made it happen. So thank you for that, Tony.
Concept of the ant and the elephant. So we're going to talk about an ant. We're going to talk about an elephant. I was introduced to this quite a while back in network marketing, even before Ambit Energy, and that concept has kind of really stayed with myself and my wife over time. And so, you know, we had a gentleman come into Ambition a few years ago. His name is Vince Pacenti, and he has a book called The Ant and the Elephant, Leadership for the Self. So Vince Pacenti, P-O-S-C-E-N-T-E. If you look that up, you can actually see his book and find that. And it's a great read. Some of the information is coming from that tonight. But also, what I wanted to share with you is how you can actually apply the concept of the ant and the elephant and the subconscious and conscious mind to helping yourselves move forward in this business. So first of all, a good friend of mine named Orrin Woodward, a very successful businessman, he talks about how the number one way to achieve success outside of character, the number one way to achieve success in any field is to align the conscious mind and the subconscious mind together toward the same objective. So when you think about the human mind, there are two parts in it. The first part is the conscious mind, and that's your awake mind. That conscious mind of yours is firing off scientifically at a rate of 2,000 neurons stimulated per second. 2,000 per second. So we're going to call the conscious mind at 2,000 neurons per second the ant. The reason we call the subconscious mind the elephant is because it fires off at 4 billion neurons stimulated per second. So think about that. You have the ant at 2,000, and then you have the elephant, the subconscious mind, at 4 billion neurons per second. See, Jack Canfield, he has a book called Success Principles. He's written other books like Chicken Soup for the Soul, those types of books. He said there are three things in life that you can control. One are the thoughts that you think. So the thoughts that you think are the ant. The second thing is the images that you visualize. So that's the elephant, images that you visualize. And then the actions that you take. The actions that you take are the ant and the elephant combined. When those are aligned, that's when success happens. So Michael Gelb talked about the storage capacity of those brains, and he talked about how there's a 10 million to 1 ratio between the ant and the elephant is what it comes out to. So there's another author in a book called 10 Steps Ahead. His name is Eric Colonius. So Eric talks about how scientists are discovering right now that the brain is a visionary device, and its primary function is to create pictures in our minds that can be used as blueprints for things that don't yet exist. They've also learned that our brains can work subconsciously to solve problems that we can't crack through conscious reasoning, through awake reasoning. So the brain is a relentless pattern seeker, and it's constantly reinventing the world. That's how the brain works. And Albert Einstein, everybody's heard of Albert Einstein, one of the greatest thought thinkers ever. He said that imagination is everything, and it's the preview of life's coming attractions. So there's another guy named Dr. Maxwell Maltz, and I'm going to be throwing some facts at you here and some definite stories as well. The brain and the nervous system, according to Dr. Maxwell Maltz, constitute a marvelous and complex goal-striving mechanism. It's sort of like having a built-in auto-guidance system that works for you as a success mechanism, if it's working for you, or it can actually work against you as a failure mechanism, depending on how you, the operator, operate it and the goals that you set for it. So the thing is, you're in control, total control of the programming of your mind. Everyone on this call, you're in control of the programming of your mind, and that's if you choose to program it. Now, if you don't choose to program it, you're guaranteed pretty much that someone or something else is going to program it. And we'll talk about that in a sec. See, Henry David Thoreau said this. He said, most men are leading lives of quiet desperation. And there are a lot of people like that. We see them every day as we're working this business, as we're connecting with people and networking with people, because there are very few people that actually believe they can accomplish what they would like to out of life. you know, it's our job to get that message out to them, because they have sort of a civil war going on between the ant, the conscious mind, and the elephant, the subconscious mind. And what they consciously want and what they've been inadvertently programmed subconsciously to go after. They've been trying to go after something consciously, but their subconscious mind has been wanting something else because they haven't programmed it properly. So the subconscious and conscious mind are not in alignment. I mean, think about this. Can you imagine if two sumo wrestlers are going to, we're going to have a wrestling match, a sumo wrestling match, and it's going to be between an ant and an elephant. I mean, think about that, what that's going to look, what that's going to look like. Who do you think is going to win in a sumo match between an ant and an elephant? See, it doesn't matter how hard that ant tries or how much it wills itself to succeed and how much it practices and prepares, there is simply no way for the ant to take down that elephant, no matter what it tries to do and how hard it works. It's just not going to happen. So what the ant needs to do is the ant needs to hop up on top of that elephant, and then the ant can plow through forests and jungles with that elephant, you know, heading up that elephant and where it's going. But having the ant try to drag the elephant around, that's not really going to be a good strategy for success. It's helping us to program our minds for success. And that's why most people are leading quiet lives of desperation right now, because they have a civil war going on in their minds. And that civil war short circuits a person's success. See, it's not your history, your life history, or your environment, or your talent. It's not those things. There's a civil war going on that short circuits that success. There's a French thinker named Emile Coe, and it could be Emile Coe. I'm not sure. I don't speak French very well, but it's either Emile Coe or Emile Coe. But it's called the law of reverse effort. And Emile Coe says that when the will and the imagination are in conflict, the imagination invariably wins the day. So let's talk about that again. When the will, the ant, and the imagination, the elephant, are in conflict, the civil war, the imagination, the elephant, invariably wins the day. So when you start worrying and thinking thoughts of failure, like, I wonder if this is going to happen, I wonder if that's going to happen, I wonder if I'm going to lose my job, or I wonder if I'm going to get a job, I wonder if I'm going to have enough money to pay for this, I wonder if this person's going to respond when I talk to them, or I wonder if this person's going to join our team. When you start doing that and worrying and going down that path of, like, fear factor, you're getting in and you're imagining all of these bad things happening. You know what you're actually doing at that point? You're literally programming your elephant to get the result that you least desire in your life. You're actually spending your thought time programming your elephant to charge toward the very thing that you don't want by dwelling. In like race driving school, race driver instructors tell race car drivers right out of the gate when they're training them the first time to keep focused on where you're going and don't look at the wall. See, if they start thinking, don't crash, and they think they might crash, then they're going to glance at the wall. When they glance at that wall, as soon as they look at that wall, they are directed toward the wall and they crash. So they're told to stay focused on what you're going to, not what you're going through. And so Richard Brooke says this. Richard Brooke is a tremendous author. He's a thought leader. He's a tremendous business person, been involved in network marketing as well. And he has a book called Before Your Career, which is a great book. Jeff Rollins is talking about that at a training this weekend in Danbury, Connecticut. And Richard Brooks says this: your mind doesn't care what you want or what you're willing to work hard for. It only cares that you perform in accordance with what you expect of yourself. So in life, you don't always get what you want. He also says that in life, you don't always get what you deserve. But he said you always get what you expect. So I'm asking you this: what are you expecting in life? What do you see for yourself? And whatever you expect in your mind, you will eventually create that in your reality because, again, whatever you dwell on, you get more of. If you dwell on good, you're going to get more of good. If you dwell on bad, you're going to get more of bad. So who's feeding your elephant right now? See, most people who's feeding their elephant are things like the television, which I like to call the electronic income reducer because it's filled with advertisements and negativity and things that people just don't need in their brain. They don't need the ant taking that information and letting the elephant visualize it. Things like, you know, there are things on Facebook even that are difficult, such as news shows, radio, newspapers, billboards, even banner ads on the internet. There's a constant bombardment by advertisers because they know that through repetition, you're going to do something that they want you to do, and it may not be what you want your elephant to be doing. I mean, when you think about this, how come we don't see ads on TV for Ferraris or Lamborghinis or Rolls Royces? How come we don't see commercials like that? If advertising works so well, how come we don't see those commercials on TV? And the answer to that is because people who can afford to buy a Ferrari, okay, those people, they don't watch TV. And really think about that for a minute. They don't watch TV. That's why there are no advertisements there. The people who can afford to buy Ferraris regularly in their lives never get advertised to because they don't watch television. So why do we allow others to program the most important part of our brain? See, when those advertisers get in there and take over, they can actually make you do things that are not in your best interest. And my friend Lori Woodward put it this way. This is a great thing. Imagine this. Imagine a beer ad on television that was actually geared toward the conscious mind, to your fact-thinking, analytical mind that processes information as it arrives, okay? Think about your conscious mind, the ant, logically reacting and logically getting programmed for a beer commercial. Okay, so it's going to be basically like this. Okay, everybody gather around. I'm a scientist, and I'm going to tell you what beer does with factual evidence. First, we're going to cut off the oxygen to your brain when you drink our beer. Then we're going to drain your liver of glycogen, making your body crave endless empty calories. We're even going to impair your judgment with this beer. We're going to make you stupider by the minute. This beer is going to make you say and do stupid things. And usually you're going to do it with a friend so he appreciates your stupidity because they're drinking too. And when you go to try to drive after drinking our beer, you're going to be a terrible driver. And you're going to possibly create a lifetime addiction and we're going to send you to an early grave after you drink our beer during your lifetime. See, that's how you would try to program the ant. Factually, that's what you would see as an ant processing that information. But in real beer ads, what they have is they have these superhero beer-drinking people that when they open up a beer, you know, 10 bikini-clad women pop out of the beer bottle. And see, that's what the elephant sees. That's the imagery that the elephant sees. And so people end up going over time and buying beer over and over and over again. And through repetition, they know the words of those. That's why Super Bowl ads are so popular. Why advertisers are paying millions of dollars to do that. See, if you're not getting the results you want in life, you have to check the programming. And make no mistake about it, your elephant is going to be fed one way or another. And the elephant can't be the guide. See, the ant has to decide what information the elephant sees. The ant decides the information. We willingly decide, and we consciously decide what information we allow to come into our brains so the elephant can get those images. And then the elephant, the subconscious mind, will charge in the direction of that information that's put in front of it. It doesn't know whether the information is good or bad. It doesn't know if it's true or false. It just knows that that's what it wants when it sees it. See, Napoleon said that imagination rules the world. And so, look, if the greatest people of all time understand that programming makes all the difference, we need to understand it as well. Because if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to take over the programming of something this important. Something, our brain is that important. There's a book called The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol, and he says in there that the subtle force of repeated suggestion overcomes our own reasoning. It acts directly on our emotions and our feelings, and finally penetrates to the depths of our subconscious minds and its repeated suggestions that make us believe. Isn't that what advertisers do? Repeated suggestions? See, if you want to be a champion in your field, you want to be like an all-state wrestler, or you want to be a great public speaker, or you want to be a fantastic consultant in this business, you have to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're going to be a champion. That, see, it's your conscious mind that has to speak the results to your subconscious mind if you're going to be a champion in that field. And we have to stop the tug of war between the ant and the elephant, because when those two things get aligned and they're charging toward the same goal, nothing can stop it. See, there was a basketball study that was done by the University of Chicago. I remember hearing this story and it just amazed me. Not that I'm a big basketball fan or basketball player or anything like that, but this just made sense to me. So the University of Chicago took basketball players and they split a group of basketball players into three groups to test the hypothesis that positive visualization could improve the ability of those basketball players to make foul shots. So each group was tested on, they improved their foul shooting by 24%. The second group improved by 23% without ever touching a basketball. It was statistically a tie. And the third group, the final group, they didn't improve at all, which was actually expected in that study. So think about the visualization power of doing that and how visualization works. See, I have a personal example myself. I was a high jumper in high school, and I was pretty competitive. I always wanted to win, and I had gotten to about just under 6 feet. I could high jump just under 6 feet, like 5'11" was the highest I had ever done. And I remember people coming up to me, I was 6'2" in high school, and people would come up to me, you'll never be able to jump over the top of your head or get that high. I remember hearing people do that everywhere I would try, and they'd see me hit the bar. Well, when I was high jumping, I actually missed the mat once when I was high jumping, and I injured my back. And so I went to the doctor immediately, and all the tests and everything came back MRI. I had to get back surgery. The final diagnosis of my injury was. So I'm waiting to have back surgery for 2 weeks, and I knew it was going to be a 2 week period of time. And so my coach said to me, "Listen, while you're sitting here and you can't do anything, why don't you come down to the high jump area? And instead of practicing, just stand there and visualize yourself going over the bar. Say to yourself before that you're going to make it over this height. Say to yourself, look at the steps that you're going to take and visualize planting your foot, this left foot, right foot, plant your foot, turn, spin, throw your leg up in the air, arch your back, go over the bar. Visualize the bar staying up there and you hitting the mat, and the bar is still above you on the stand, that you made it over and how good that's going to feel." And he told me to visualize that, to actually come to practice and do that, so that later on when I got better and recovered from surgery, I would be better off than if I didn't do that. Well, what happened was, it was something, I did that. I went there every day for a couple of weeks. And then a friend of mine, who's a consultant on our team now, actually, he told me that you should go and see a chiropractor to get a second look at it. And so I did. I went to see a chiropractor, and the chiropractor, he actually adjusted my back and told me, "I think you're going to be okay." And literally the next day, I was back high jumping again. So it was an incredible thing. I avoided the surgery, which was great, and I was able to go back high jumping the next day. So listen to this. 5'11 was the highest jump I'd ever done. I went down to that pit, and the first time I tried it after not practicing for 2 weeks, we put the bar at 6'2", my height, and I cleared it for the first time in my life. All because of the power of visualization. See, it's the power of the elephant at work. See, clinical psychologists have determined beyond a shadow of a doubt that the subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between an event that has actually happened or one that has been imagined in vivid detail. So are you seeing and visualizing yourself in the role of a champion? Are you seeing yourself succeeding and getting promoted to regional, to senior, to executive, to national? See, we all have a brain, and we all have an ant, and we all have an elephant. We just need to use them properly. So the Olympics just happened, the Winter Olympics, and you know, I love the Olympics when they come up, and there was this story that I heard by Peter Vidmar. And Peter Vidmar was an Olympic gymnast, and in the 1984 Summer Olympics, they competed. Him and his friend Tim Daggett competed. And at that time, everybody knew that it was going to be the United States versus the Chinese in the finals for the team Olympic gymnastic medals. So this is what happened. Tim Daggett and Peter Vidmar, training buddies, they would train in the gym, and for thousands and thousands of days in a row, okay, they did it even before that Olympics. It was years in a row. They practiced every day for the same moment, and this is what they did. They pretended that they were behind the Chinese at the end of the Olympics, and that when they came up, they were going to be the last two people to come up, and their job was one of them had to have a flawless performance, the first one, so that the second one could come out and have an equally good performance so that they could win the medal from behind and beat the Chinese. And over and over and over again, every day, they did that. Practice in the gym, get the flawless, visualizing the flawless routine, and then bringing up the other one to do another flawless routine to win it, and they walk off with the gold medal. So the 1984 Olympics come up, and now they're in front of millions of people and televised, and tens of thousands of people in the audience, and it comes down to the Chinese and the United States for the final gold medal in the team competition. Tim Daggett goes up and does the rings competition, and he has a flawless performance. It puts the U.S. in a position where they're still in second place, and Peter Vidmar is coming up to do the high bar, and he has to have a near flawless performance, a 9.90 or above, to actually win the team gold medal for the U.S. Peter Vidmar goes up, he does his routine, he hits the dismount, he lands, and they wait for the judges to put up the score, and the score comes up, 9.95. And they won the gold medal in the all-around team competition in the 1984 Olympics for the U.S. That's how it happened. And it was amazing to see that happen. And afterwards, here's what happened when they asked Peter Vidmar about the pressure that was on him and what he was thinking about when he went up there for that final competition, that final round to win. And this is what he said. I'm summarizing it, but it went something like this. Well, look, we had practiced for thousands of times in a row back in the gym when no one was looking. And we had visualized this moment over and over and over again. So when I got up there, I didn't think about all of the crowd and the millions of people. See, I'd already visualized that back in the gym. So when I got up there to do my final competition, my final performance, all I could think about was visualizing myself back in the gym, and I just did what we'd always done every day, which was finish the competition, get the proper score, and win the gold medal. Isn't that amazing? When you want something bad enough, you will discipline your conscious mind to program your subconscious mind so that you can move mountains. You can do things that so many other people said is impossible, and the reason that they said it's impossible is because they believe it actually is impossible, because they're thinking in ant mode. See, they have the ant working. To them, it is impossible. But to you, with your subconscious and conscious mind aligned, it's very possible, because what they see through their ant eyes is not the same thing that you see through your elephant eyes. The ant and the elephant aligned together creates success beyond. It's beyond comprehension for someone only operating in the world through ant mode. And that's what you guys have the ability to do. And it's like four wheels on a car. I'm going to tell you, four wheels on a car and a shower. Four wheels on a car is this. Listen to audio every single day, positive, uplifting audio. That's the front driver tire of the car. The passenger tire on the front is read positive personal development books. things that lift you up, like the Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz. The rear tire on the driver's side is get to events. Do not miss any events. You have to have events in your life to get around the excitement, enthusiasm, belief, and bring yourself and your elephant to have a much higher opinion of what you can do. Program your mind. The final one, the final car wheel on the car, is the rear tire on the passenger side. And that one is find someone who is where you want to be in this business and counsel with them on a daily basis until you get to where they want to be. Find people who are ahead of you and associate with that leadership and seek counsel. Because it's like a shower. See, somebody said to me, well, I already read that book, or I already went to an event, or I already listened to that conference call. I was on a conference call last week. You know, 1 to 2 months ago, I was on a training for how to do this thing. I already know how to do that. And my answer to them when they say, I already did that, I'm like, well, look, you take a shower more than once a month. And I'm like, yeah, I take a shower every day. And I said, well, the personal development thing is the same way. Because if you don't take a shower for a month, you start to stink. And if you don't personally develop yourself on a daily basis, you also start to think. You start to get accused of stinking thinking. So some examples of people that are in alignment, these are people who have the ant and the elephant aligned. Brian McClure, Ray Monty, Steve Thompson, Chris Atkinson. Debbie Atkinson definitely has the ant and the elephant aligned. So do Kim and Jim Mason and Richard and Mary Amoedo. And I see Steve and Tony Buffoni a lot. They definitely have these things aligned. Coach Alan Johnston. There are tons more, but I'm telling you guys, get around those people. Be around them. We don't promise that this is going to be easy. We're not going to promise that all you have to do is just visualize something and then you're going to have it. That's not it. But what we promise is that if you'll do the discipline to feed your conscious mind with the positive material so that your conscious mind, your ant, will feed your elephant positive images on a regular basis, and then you will act on those on that positive programming of both the ant and the elephant aligned, then what I can promise you is this, that if you'll do that, not once, not twice, but consistently, tens and hundreds and thousands of times, then you will have ended that civil war that exists in your mind, and you will go out and accomplish greatness in this business or anything else that you decide to do. You guys, I've appreciated this. I want to keep under the timeline here. I want to thank Bear Gordon for hosting these calls and for Brian McClure for inviting me onto this call. My wife and I have had a great time building this business, and it's just getting started. The best is yet to come. We're still in the ground floor, basement startup of this thing. I just recently read that there are 35 countries that have deregulated already, and we're only in 3 of them, and we haven't even finished this country. You got to go out and get your part of this. It's going to be great for decades to come. Get started now. Get yourselves up. Align your ant and your elephant and go charge towards success. And we'll open up the call, you guys. Have a great night. Thank you.